The following is an unrehearsed interview with United States Senator Chuck Grassley speaking to you from Washington, D.C. Participating in today's public affairs program are Brian Fancher of KLMJ Radio in Hampton and Gordon Wolf of the Denison Bulletin and Review. The first question will come from KLMJ's Brian.
Senator, I wanted to get your take on the latest with the Waters of the U.S. rule and where it stands right now and what you think may happen with it.
Well, quite frankly, it won't go into effect until it's heard in district court because it's held up by the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeal, a nationwide injunction, and that nationwide injunction will hold until some judge says that it's relieved. I assume that once this is argued in the district court, it's going to be appealed again to a circuit court and to the Supreme Court. So it may be a long time before we know for sure if the president does what I think the president did, exceeded his constitutional authority by passing Waters of the U.S. by a presidential edict. And in the meantime, Congress in three different ways, for instance, a vote today to override a presidential veto of a congressional resolution of disapproval of it that Senator Ernst sponsored, and she got through the Senate with a majority vote, but then the president vetoes and you got to have a 67 vote to override. There was an attempt by Barrasso to rewrite EPA law so they couldn't do it. That didn't get the 60 votes to move ahead in the Senate. And then we were going to put an amendment on the appropriation bill saying negating the resolution, but the president said he'd veto the appropriation bills. So we weren't successful in three congressional attempts to stop Waters of the U.S. So thank God for the courts. That's what really saved us. But Congress did all it could to stop it, but under the Constitution didn't have the votes to succeed. And by the way, the reason this is important is because we have maps of Iowa that show EPA is going to control runoff from 97% of the land of Iowa. And that's the biggest bureaucratic power grab I've ever been involved in.
Gordon?
Yes, Senator. Along the presidential campaign trail, there's been statements that ethanol should operate in a free market system, that the renewable fuel standard should be ended or phased out. Can you envision any conditions where you would be able to support that?
No, that's a short answer. No, a flat no. But let me suggest to you that when a industry gets mature, it doesn't need government support. Ethanol is mature. We showed that by ending the tax credit for it. But the RFS is important because we want consumers to have choice. And when big oil controls everything that you get out of a gasoline pump, they've got a monopoly. So here, if you want people to be able to buy alternative fuel like ethanol is, then what you have to do is the government steps in as a referee to make sure some of this other fuel is offered to the consumer. And so we need the RFS.
Brian?
Senator, your take again about the situation lately with the executive order by the president on the guns, and where does that go?
On what?
On the situation with weapons with guns and at shows and that type of thing.
Okay, the name doesn't ring a bell to me, so I'm not sure I know what your question is.
Well, let's get back to just in a nutshell, what's your opinion about the situation with the Second Amendment in the country right now, and where do we go from here about guns?
Oh, now, I thought you were giving me the name. You were talking about the Second Amendment. Well, the
right.
Second Amendment, I'm a 100% supporter of guns and the Second Amendment because they're a constitutional right, and Congress can't mess around with a constitutional right. And neither can the president, and the courts have sustained that in two decisions within the last 8 years that defy anybody who says that there's not an individual right to own guns. So I think the president exceeded his authority with these guidance that he put out. Two things that he talked about I would agree with. One, if he wants to hire more FBI agents, he's got the constitutional authority to do it as long as we appropriate the money. And secondly, he's suggesting that we have mental health issues that have to be dealt with in regard to people with mental health issues getting guns that shouldn't have the guns. And I agree with that, but he did admit Congress has to pass laws. But some of the other things he did in regard to defining a quote-unquote a licensed gun dealer, I don't think he has the authority to do that because the Congress has that authority.
Gordon?
Yes, Senator. One of the technological tools farmers are using more is unmanned aviation vehicles or drones. Can Congress have any effect in clearing up what's been described to me as the cloudy waters on the regulation of drones?
Congress could step in on any of these things, including this one that you're talking about, if they want to. But I think right now I would say that with the FAA regulations that have come out, that I think that we feel that they're within congressional intent because they're directly related to the safety of commercial travel of airlines. And to that extent, I think that Congress has already given the FAA authority to do it. Now, just like waters of the U.S., if that bureaucracy would exceed its authority, then we would have to take action. But right now, I don't hear much debate about the Congress saying that what relatively restricted regulations and minimum regulations that FAA's come out with. I haven't heard a lot of concern about that either in my 20 town meetings this year or from my fellow congressmen.
Brian?
Senator, get your take on the caucuses with 10 days to go now. What do you think's going to happen?
I think you're going to have four or five people, and you can kind of figure out who those four or five people are going to be bunched around somewhere between the lowest of the five getting about 15% and maybe the best one getting about 22%. And I think you're going to have probably three or four people claiming victory out of Iowa.
Brian, or Gordon, I'm sorry.
Yes, Senator, have you endorsed the presidential candidate for the November election? And do you believe that endorsements make a difference?
I think endorsements make a little difference, not a big difference. But also, I announced about 8 months ago, maybe almost a year ago now, that I wasn't going to endorse anybody, and that's been respected by everybody.
Thank you.
Brian?
Senator, you mentioned about your meetings on your 99-county tour. What are you hearing? What are the biggest concerns people are telling you right now?
We've talked about two or three of them during this conversation, guns and too much government regulation. Then besides those things, we've had some on Obamacare, Medicare, when you're going to balance a budget, trade issues like TPP. And, you know, that's not everything I should name. But let me tell you that in about those things I just mentioned, plus maybe a couple others I didn't mention, they come up in about every town meeting and make up about half of the town meeting's time. Then there's a whole multitude of other things that come up at different town meetings. So, you get them all. I take notes on my town meetings, and usually in the course of an hour and 15 minutes, have about 20 different topics come up.
Thank you, Gordon and Brian, for participating in today's Public Affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.
Yeah, thank you all very much. Goodbye.